ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ फ्यूचर मनुस टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। योऽसौ भगवता बोद्ध प्रीतेन सुतले पुनः निवेशितो दिके स्वर्गात् अधुनास्ते स्वराड्यव। ट्रांसलेशन: विथ ग्रेट अफेक्शन द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड बाउंड बलि एंड देन इंस्टॉल्ड हिम इन द किंगडम ऑफ सुतल which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Maharaj Bali now resides on that planet and is more comfortably situated than Indra. So I will read till the end of this chapter because none of the verses are purport. O King, during the 8th Manvantara, the great personalities Galava, Deeptiman, Parashuram, Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, Rishayashringa, and our father Vyasadev, the incarnation of Narayan, will be the 7 sages. For the present, they are all residing in their respective ashramas. In the 8th Manvantara, the greatly powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, will take birth. His father will be Devagohya, and his mother will be Saraswati. He will take the kingdom away from Purandar and give it to Bali Maharaj. O King, the 9th Manu will be Daksha Savarni, who is born of Varuna. Among his sons will be Bhutaketu and Deeptaketu. In the 9th Manvantara, the Paras and Maricha Garbhas will be among the demigods. The King of Heaven Indra will be named Adbhuta, and Jyutiman will be among the 7 sages. Rishabhdev, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father Ayushman and his mother Ambudara. He will enable the Indra named Adbhuta to enjoy the opulence of the 3 worlds. The son of Upashloka, known as Brahma Savarni, will be the 10th Manu. Bhurisena will be among his sons, and the Brahmanas headed by Havishman will be the 7 sages. Havishman, Sukrita, Satya, Jaya, Murti and others will be the 7 sages. The Suvasanas and Viruddhas will be among the demigods, and Shambhu will be their king Indra. In the home of Vishvasrashta, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vishuchi as the incarnation known as Vishvaksena. He will make friends with Shambhu. In the 11th Manvantara, the Manu will be Dharma Savarni, who will be extremely learned in spiritual knowledge. From him, there will come 10 sons headed by Satya Dharma. The Vihangamas, Kamagamas, Nirvanuruchis and others will be the demigods. The king of the demigods Indra will be Vaidrata, and the 7 sages will be headed by Aruna. The son of Aryaka, known as Dharma Setu, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Vaidrata, the wife of Aryaka, and will rule the 3 worlds. O King, the 12th Manu will be named Rudra Savarni. Devavan, Upadeva and Deva Shrestha will be among his sons. In this Manvantara, the name of Indra will be Ritadama, and the demigods will be headed by the Haritas. Among the sages will be Tapomurti, Tapasvi and Agnidraka. From the mother named Sundrata and the father named Satyasaha will come Swadama, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will rule that Manvantara. The 13th Manu will be named Deva Savarni, and he will be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Among his sons will be Chitrasena and Vichitra. In the 13th Manvantara, the Sukarmas and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Divaspati will be the king of heaven, and Nirmoka and Tattvadarsha will be among the seven sages. The son of Devahutra, known as Yogeshwara, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Divaspati. The name of the 14th Manu will be Indra Savarni. He will have sons like Uru, Gambira and Buddha. The Pavitras and Chakshushas will be among the demigods, and Shuchi will be Indra, the king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Shuchi, Shuddha, Magadha and others of great austerity will be the seven sages. O King Parikshit, in the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vitana, and his father's name will be Satrayan. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihadbhanu, and he will administer spiritual activities. O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1000 Yuga cycles. This is called a Kalpa or one day of Lord Brahma. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled a Description of Future Manus. Seek the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially His Grace Radha Gopinath Ru, for trying to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this particular chapter, we see that Shukadeva Goswami is describing the future Manus. So when I was going through, when I was just trying to read this, I was thinking that, like the previous chapter described about how Lord Shiva was bewildered by Mohini Murti, and suddenly now there is a change in chapter, it's called Description of the Future Manus. So when a person is trying to read Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes one may get bewildered. Sometimes he may be thinking that, is there any continuity between one chapter and another chapter? Like last so many chapters, it was describing about the churning of the milk ocean. Then finally it ended with how Lord Shiva was bewildered by Mohini Murti. And suddenly, this another description starts about description of the future Manus. So one may think, like, what is the logic? Is there any continuity between the chapters? So one may get a doubt about Shukadeva Goswami. Why is he, like, suddenly, spontaneously, is bringing this chapter? Why is he speaking like that? But then, actually, if you carefully go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is actually a continuity. It all started in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidura met Maitreya Rishi. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are three conversations are going on. One is the conversation between the sages of Naimisharanya and Suta Goswami. And when Suta Goswami speaks to the sages of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami quotes a conversation which happened between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. And in that conversation, when Maharaj Parikshit asks about what happened in the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi, Shukadeva Goswami speaks about the conversation between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. The three conversations which go on is like within one. So at the end of the second canto, when Maharaj Parikshit, for the sages of Naimisharanya, they asked Suta Goswami about what happened in the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. So in order to answer that question, Suta Goswami says the same question was asked by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami as to what did Vidura and Maitreya Rishi discuss. So then Shukadeva Goswami describes the conversation which happened between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. So in that conversation, when Vidura puts forward the questions to Maitreya Rishi, one of the questions he asks, the third canto, seventh chapter, he asks is, that please describe about all the Manus who appeared during the creation of Brahma, during the one day of Brahma. And please describe about the dynasties of the Manus. So when Vidura asked this question, so in response to that question and in response to the other questions of Vidura, Maitreya Rishi tells about the creation of Lord Brahma, how Lord Brahma created so many living entities. And then in the course of the narration, Lord Brahma says that Lord Brahma created the first Manu, who is known as Swayambhuva Manu. So when Vidura hears about Swayambhuva Manu, so Vidura asks Maitreya Rishi that what did Swayambhuva Manu do after obtaining his wife Shatarupa? And please describe about the character and activities of Swayambhuva Manu. So then Vidura puts forward this question. So in response to that question, Maitreya Rishi says that after Swayambhuva Manu appeared, Swayambhuva Manu saw that the world, the earth planet, was the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. So then he requested Lord Brahma to help in the situation. Please put the earth back into the orbit. So then when Lord Brahma saw that situation, so Lord Brahma started meditating upon the Supreme Lord. Then that time Varahadeva appears. So then there are a few chapters describes about Varahadeva. Then after that description comes, again Vidura puts forward a question that I heard that when Varahadeva appeared, Varahadeva also killed a demon called Hiranyaksha. Can you narrate about that? Like that he asks. Then another 4 or 5 chapter describes about the birth of the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So then at the end of that description, again Vidura comes back to the original question. The original question he asked is about the character and activities of Swayambhuva Manu. So again he asked the question in the 21st chapter, Swayambhuvascha Manor Vamsha Parama Sammatah Katyatam Bhagavan Yatra Maitunedare Praja. He says, the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu is highly esteemed. Please give me an account of that race, because great devotees have taken birth in that dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. So here, Prabhupada makes a nice point. He says that Vidura is not interested in simply knowing the activities of some persons who simply engaged in sex life. Vidura is interested in the activities of great devotees like Swayambhuva Manu who increase the dynasty. Because Swayambhuva Manu is such a great devotee of the Lord. So when a devotee performs the act of procreation in Krishna consciousness, then such an activity becomes a subject matter for even the great renunciants like Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. So that's why the word Parama Samatha, that means the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu is highly esteemed. Swayambhuva Manu increased his progeny according to the instructions of the previous authorities. So because he performed the action in Krishna consciousness, that became the subject matter of even great renunciants like Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. So in response to Vidura's question, again Maitreya Rishi starts describing about the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu had 2 sons and 3 daughters. Uttanupad and Prevrat Maharaj. And the 3 daughters are Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti. So first he describes the dynasty of the daughter from Devahuti. So he describes about how Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila Deva was born. There are like the rest of the third chapter goes described about Devahuti and Kapila Deva instructing Devahuti. Then in the beginning of fourth canto starts with the genealogical tables of the daughters of Manu. Then Maitreya Rishi describes about the dynasties of the other dynasties from the other daughters of Swayambhu Manu, that is Prasuti and Akuti. Then after said the Daksha, the episode of how Daksha was Daksha offended Lord Shiva. So like that we see that there is a continuity. And then fourth canto describes about the two sons of Swayambhu Manu, that is Uttanupad and the dynasties from Uttanupad, Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj Prithu, and up to the Prachetas, for the sons of Prachina Barisha. Then fifth canto starts with the other son of Swayambhu Manu, that is Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Priyavrat. So then the dynasty of Priyavrat is described. Then after the description of the Priyavrat Maharaj is completed, then again Parikshit Maharaj asks a question, because he heard during the description of Priyavrat Maharaj that how Priyavrat Maharaj divided the whole universe into seven dvipas. It is described in the fifth canto, first chapter. Then Parikshit Maharaj wants to know about all these seven dvipas and about the structure of the universe. Then the rest of the fifth canto describes about the structure of the universe. So we see that usually the Srimad Bhagavatam, like a devotee puts forward one question, and then Sukadeva Goswami or Maitreya Rishi describes that. And then during the course, when Vidura or Parikshit Maharaj hears that question, he puts forward another question. Then he answers that question. Once that description is over, then again he comes back to the original question. Like that it is proceeding. Then when the fifth canto description is over, when Parikshit Maharaj, when he hears about the description of hellish planets, so he asks that how the persons in the hellish planets can be delivered. Then in response to that, the Ajamil episode is described. In this way, the conversation is proceeding. So by the end of the seventh canto, so the description of the dynasties of the Swayambhu Manu is completed, who is the first Manu. So then, at the beginning of eighth chapter, eighth canto, Parikshit Maharaj puts forward another question, that please describe about the other Manus. So because the dynasties of Swayambhu Manu is completed at the end of seventh canto, he asked the second question, please describe about the dynasties of the other Manus. So that is why the eighth canto begins with the description of the dynasties of the other Manus. So in Sukadeva Goswami describes about the second Manu, third Manu, then he describes about the fourth Manu. So he describes how when the fourth Manu appeared, Lord appeared and he delivered the elephant Gajendra. So as soon as Parikshit Maharaj hears that question, Parikshit Maharaj asks, please describe in great detail about how Lord delivered this elephant Gajendra. Then again another three chapters goes in that. So then after that, again Sukadeva Goswami comes to the original description. He starts describing the fifth Manu. Who is the fifth Manu and how Lord appeared during the reign of fifth Manu. And then he describes the sixth Manu. And then he says that during the reign of sixth Manu, Lord appeared as Ajita. And then he says that how this Lord Ajita helped in the churning of the milk ocean. So as soon as Parikshit Maharaj hears that, he asks, please describe about how this churning of milk ocean happened. So again another 7 or 8 chapters goes in describing about the churning of the milk ocean. So then when this pastime is over, Sukadeva Goswami again comes back to the original conversation. So that is why this chapter starts with Sukadeva Goswami describing about the seventh Manu. So in this way Srimad Bhagavatam is proceeding. So one may think that what is the need to hear about all these personalities. So first point we can learn is that it is not, this conversation is not happening randomly, that suddenly spontaneously thinks of something, starts speaking about something. The speaker also remembers what was the original subject matter, and the hearer is also remembering that what was my original question again. So it's happening. So, and all these Manus are, they are all actually great devotees of the Lord. in the like few days back when we were talking about this Rudra Geet, Lord Shiva in one of his prayers he says, Manave Karanatmane. He says that you are the original Manu. So all these Manus are, they are empowered incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Because all these Manus help in the Supreme Lord, help the Supreme Lord and help Lord Brahma in creating order in the human society, to establish laws in the human society. So when they are all empowered by the Supreme Lord, or sometimes the Supreme Lord himself appears as Manu, when he sees there is nobody qualified. So, in the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that when he talks about serving, when he talks about the 64 Angas of devotional service, especially when he talks about serving the great devotees, he says that all the Angas of devotional service which apply to the Supreme Lord, they also apply in relation to the devotees of the Lord. That means that one may, hearing about the Supreme Lord or serving the Supreme Lord or visiting the places where the Supreme Lord performed pastimes, the same principles apply in relation to the devotees of the Lord. That means when a person hears about the devotee of the Lord, that is also a Anga of devotional service. When a person visits the place where the devotee has taken birth, or where the devotees have performed their pastimes, that is also a part of devotional service. That is why, when devotees go to US, they say that, so we went on a pilgrimage to 26 Second Avenue. Nonsense, 26 Second Avenue, it is there in the heart of the capital of Kali Yuga. But then, because a devotee has performed pastimes, this Prabhupada that lived there, so visiting that place, it actually becomes an anga of devotional service. So similarly, these descriptions may describe about the different manus, but then because they are all great devotees of the Lord, it is as good as hearing about the Supreme Lord. So it is an anga of devotional service. And another point she wanted to talk about is, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes one may get confused by different descriptions. Certain descriptions, when we read, it may appear that it is not directly glorifying the Supreme Lord. And the purpose, Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote the scripture with the only reason to exclusively glorify the Supreme Lord. But some of these descriptions, some of the pastimes, it may appear like when you read the story of Narada Muni preaching to Prachina Parishad, when he speaks this allegorical story, it may appear that he is speaking some mundane love story or something. So one may think is he talking about the glories of the Lord or something else? Or when you sometimes describe about, read the activities of Maharaj Agnidra, or how Lord Shiva was captivated by Mohini Murthy, or the just list of this different Manus, one may think, what is the need? It may appear that these statements do not directly glorify the Supreme Lord. So in order to understand this, let us go back to the first canto. When we read the first canto, fifth chapter, when Vyasadeva was dissatisfied that how, after writing all the Vedic literatures, Vyasadeva was completely dissatisfied. And then at that time, he approaches the spiritual master Narada Muni and asks him that what is the cause of my dissatisfaction? So then, Narada Muni starts replying to Vyasadeva. He says, Bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam. Says the cause of your dissatisfaction is that you are not described the glories of the supreme personality of Godhead, whose glories are spotless in character, Bhavata Anudita Prayam. You have not sufficiently described the glories of the supreme personality of Godhead. So in response to that, Vyasadeva says, but then I have given the Vedanta Darshan, I have given the Vedanta Sutra, I have given the Brahma Mimamsa. What about that? Then Narada Muni says, Yenai Vasu Na Tushyeta Manye Tad Darshanam Kilam. He says, I consider the Vedanta Sutra to be insufficient because you are the author of Vedanta Sutra and you are dissatisfied after writing the Vedanta Sutra. So then how can one expect the readers of Vedanta Sutra be satisfied after reading Vedanta Sutra? So because you are dissatisfied, you are the author of Vedanta Sutra, and you are dissatisfied after writing Vedanta Sutra, I consider the Vedanta Sutra to be insufficient. I consider it to be inferior. So in response to that, Vyasadeva says, but then, I have described the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Padma Purana and other Puranas. So what about that? Not only I have given Vedanta Sutra, but I described out the pastimes of Krishna in other Puranas like Padma Purana, etc. What about that? So Narada Muni says, Yata Dharma Dayas Charta Muni Varyanu Kirtita. He says, but then you have not described the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna as much as you have described Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Although they are much inferior to the glories of Krishna. I agree that you have described about the glories of Krishna, but then you have not described the glories of Krishna as much as you have described Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And then he says, though you have described the glories of the Supreme Lord, and though you have described the path of devotional service, but then you have described the path of devotional service as a means to achieve moksha. How can your mind be satisfied when there is a lack of regard for something which should have been given the topmost regard? You should have given the topmost priority to devotional service, but then you have given priority to, you have described devotional service as a means to achieve moksha. So how can your mind be satisfied by giving lack of regard for something which should have been given the topmost regard? So in response to that, Vyasadeva says, but then I have described devotional service as the topmost goal in life in certain scriptures, in certain portions of scriptures. He says, see, in Bhagavad Gita, I have described Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samas Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Puram. See, in this particular verse, I have described that when a person, after achieving the Brahman platform, he does not desire, nor does he lament. Then he starts performing devotional service. So this verse shows that devotional service is superior to even achieve the Brahman platform. So in this verse I have described the devotional service as superior to even moksha. So what about that? So Vyasadeva says, so Narada Muni in response to that he says, but then you have not described the glories of the Supreme Lord and you have not described the glories of devotional service repeatedly. I agree that in certain places you have described about devotional service as the topmost, but then you have not described the glories of the Supreme Lord as repeatedly. Because especially for people of Kali Yuga, unless something is being repeatedly told, they will not be able to understand the importance of that. Let's say Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about spirit soul, the second chapter, he repeatedly tells that our soul is eternal, it does not have birth, old age, it's never born, and the body is killed, the soul is not killed. He repeatedly mentions in several verses. So Vyasadeva is saying, although you have described in certain places devotion service at the topmost, but then you have not described them repeatedly. Then he says, Nayat vachaschitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrnita karhichit tadvayasam tirtamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantyu shikshaya. Then Narada Muni says, Nayat vachaschitrapadam harer yasho. Those words which do not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although those words may contain, may contain all kind of poetic ornaments, but then those words which do not contain the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which alone can purify the whole world, what to speak of the author? Nayat vachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrnita karhichit. And those words which do not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are considered as place of pilgrimage for the crows by the all perfect persons who are like swans of the Manasa lake, or whose minds are absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, Nayatra hamsa niramant ushikshaya. The devotees of the Lord are the all perfect persons, they never take pleasure in those words which do not glorify the Supreme Lord. So in this verse, when Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes a commentary, he writes an interesting point. He says, Chitra Padam. That means those words which do not glorify the Supreme Lord, although these words may contain many decorative, may contain all kinds of poetic ornaments, may be well composed with good vocabulary, etc., with all the different ornaments, but then if they do not contain the glories of the Supreme Lord, they are like dead matter. And because a person may be very beautiful, but then if he is dead, then nobody will be attracted towards the person. So similarly, those who do not glorify the Supreme Lord, they are like dead matter, dead body. And then he says that on the other hand, the devotees of the Lord who are like swans, whose minds is completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord, they never take pleasure. Ni ramanti, that means that they never take pleasure in such literatures. So I was thinking that, like, sometimes we practicing sadhakas, we may be reading books, we may be reading Prabhupada's books, but in certain time when we get bored, we may read other books. Some newspaper or something. But then here it is mentioned that the swans, the devotees, they never take pleasure in reading such literatures. That is why it is very strongly said, ni ramanti. And another point which Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says is, he puts forward an argument that even in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read different descriptions, suppose when you take the individual statement, for example, like in this particular chapter, let us say, take one chapter, one statement, that in the 13th Manvantara, the Sukarmas and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Divaspati will be the king of heaven, and Nirmoka and Tattvadarsha will be among the seven sages. So if you take this particular statement, it is not describing the glories of the Supreme Lord. In this way, you will find so many statements in Srimad Bhagavatam, which may apparently describing about the beauty of a particular damsel, or some details may be there. When you take the individual statement, it may appear that it is not describing the glory of a Supreme Lord. So then, by this statement of Narada Muni, which he says that those which do not glorify the Supreme Lord, such work should be considered as a place of pilgrimage. Then by that logic, even Srimad Bhagavatam should be considered as a place of pilgrimage. Pesha pilgrimage for the crows. And the other works of Vyasadeva, like in some other Puranas written by Vyasadeva, they may be describing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. So they should be accepted. And Srimad Bhagavatam, because there are so many statements which do not describe the glories of the Supreme Lord, it should be considered as a place of pilgrimage for the crows. So like that, Vishnu Chakravarti puts an argument, and he gives a counter argument. He says, so the word vacha, that is nayat vachas chitra padam, the word vacha, it should be the general import of the discussion rather than each sentence. What it means is, we should not consider the individual statement, but we should consider the general import of the whole discussion. So when you consider the general import of the whole discussion, in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, it will only point to the glories of the Supreme Lord. If you read the whole, suppose whole Puranjan pastime, the story narrated by Narada Muni to Prachina Bharishad, if you take the individual statement, it may be confused. Is it describing about the glories of the Supreme Lord or something else? But then when you read the whole story, at the end of the whole story, if you read in the Phala Stuti, Narada Muni says, this description of Puranjan describes about the glory of Lord Mukunda or Lord Murari, like that he says. So when you take the individual statement, it may not describe the glory of Supreme Lord. But when you take the import of the whole discussion, in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the discussion, they only describe about the glory of the Supreme Lord. Whereas, if you take the other Puranas written by Vyasadeva, although they may contain the glories of the Supreme Lord, but they also contain the glories of other demigods. Just like sometimes when preaching Krishna consciousness, like sometimes one may say that we are also worshipping Krishna. Like sometimes we are preaching, somebody may say that, so we also worship Krishna, we also offer bhoga to Krishna, like that. But then when you go into their house, you see the altar, there will be hundreds of demigods, in one particular corner Krishna's photo will be there. So that is the case with other Puranas. The other Puranas written by Vyasadeva, they may contain the glories of the Supreme Lord, but they also contain the glories of other demigods. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, when you take any pastime, the import of the whole pastime is it only describes the glories of the Supreme Lord. So that is why give detail about different manus. But then when you take the whole import of the whole discussion, it only describes the glories of the Supreme Lord. So then, like another point which you wanted to talk about is, like in this particular chapter, it describes that how during the reign of each Manvantara, the Lord appeared in different forms. So we see the Parishit Maharaj, the glory of Parishit Maharaj is, like by the mercy of Parishit Maharaj, we are able to associate with all the incarnations of the Lord. Like, so Lord Krishna appeared at the request of Devaki in Vasudev. Vamana Dev appeared at the request of Aditi. And so many incarnations of the Lord, like Prishnikarma appeared at the request of Dhruva Maharaj. So each incarnation, Narsingdev appeared at the request of Prahlad Maharaj. So, but then, because of Parishit Maharaj, the glory of Parishit Maharaj is, because of him, we are able to associate with all the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Whereas other devotees, by their mercy, they could make the Lord descend in one particular form. But Parishit Maharaj, by the mercy of Parishit Maharaj, Lord has descended in so many forms. Because just hearing about Krishna is non-different from associating with the Supreme Lord. So that is the glory of Parishit Maharaj. Because of Parishit Maharaj, we are even able to associate with Brihadbhanu, who is the Supreme Lord in the 14th Manvantara, that is at the end of Lord Brahma's day, in the 14th Manvantara. So that is the glory of Parishad Maharaj. And the purpose of each of this incarnation, when Lord appeared, is the purpose of each of incarnation is especially to establish the religious principles, to annihilate the demons, and to show special affection for his devotees. In fact, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, to establish the religious principles and annihilate the demons, Lord can do even with his own agents. So Lord descends especially to favor his devotees. So we see this aspect of Krishna's love for his devotees throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us see two instances how Krishna showed affection for his devotees. Like in the first canto, when Lord Krishna was about to depart for Dwaraka, so when after hearing the prayers of Kunti Maharani, then Krishna was about to depart for Dwaraka. So when you see this incident from the point of view of not being Krishna the Supreme Lord, but Krishna being the big administrative head in Dwaraka. Now usually we see, suppose a big CEO of a company, like they have a schedule, what I'll do in this particular day. They put up a schedule for the whole month, for the next month. And suddenly some request comes. So can you come? Can I have an appointment for this? So usually they'll respond that, no, this is my schedule. I already have my appointments full. So usually the CEOs or managers, they act like that. But in the case of Krishna, so Krishna was about to depart for Dwaraka. So that time at the last moment, Yudhishthira Maharaj comes and says, he puts forward a request, please stay for some more time. So immediately Lord Krishna agrees to stay for some more time. Prabhupada writes in the purport that no one could make Krishna stay at Hastinapur when he decided to start for Dwaraka. But the simple request of Yudhishthira Maharaj was immediately effective. So Krishna is not like a mundane CEO who simply goes by the schedule, but he is always affected by the devotees. When the devotees want him to do something, he just forgets the schedule and then he just agrees to stay for a few more days. So that is the nature of Krishna, that his heart is always for his devotees. And exactly opposite, we see a opposite behavior in Krishna in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like in the fourth canto, when the Prachetas performed austerities for 10,000 years, Lord Vishnu appears. And then Prachetas offered beautiful set of prayers to Lord Vishnu. So after Lord Vishnu hears those prayers, Maitreya Rishi says, Iti Prachetobir Abhitishto Hari Pritas Tatet Asharanya Vatsala. He says, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is the shelter of the surrendered souls, having been worshipped by the Prachetas, he left that place. He says that although the Prachetas were not completely satisfied in taking darshan of the Lord, they were not completely satisfied in having the association of the Lord, but then Lord left that place. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he also had love for the devotees, love for Krishna, so Krishna agreed to stay. Here Prachetas are also, they were also in the same platform. They are also at pure devotion for Lord Vishnu. They wanted Lord Vishnu to stay for more time, but then Lord Vishnu did not stay. He immediately left. So there, what is the reason? Because Lord Vishnu, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, he says that this is an exhibition of Lord Vishnu's kindness towards his other devotees in other places. So although Prachetas wanted to have his association more, Lord Vishnu wanted to give his association to other devotees in other parts of the universe. So this shows Lord Vishnu's renunciation. That although the devotees, they were having pure devotion, they wanted to have his association more, but then Lord Vishnu exhibited his renunciation. He left that place in order to give his association to other devotees. So Prabhupada says that Lord is equally kind to his innumerable devotees all over the creation. Like in the material platform, if somebody is kind to one particular person, if somebody is kind to a person, he may not be kind to another person to the same extent. But in the spiritual platform, Lord can be equally kind to his millions of devotees. Like once, Radhanath Maharaj was, I think, Solness Radhanath Maharaj was introducing some Srila Prabhupada's disciple. Was just saying, so this disciple of Srila Prabhupada is very dear to Srila Prabhupada, his most confidential devotee of Srila Prabhupada, like that, describing. After that, one devotee asked Maharaj, so previously on that particular day, he described that devotee to be most confidential, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. But today, saying that this devotee is very dear to Srila Prabhupada. So Maharaj said, Prabhupada can have 1 million most dear disciples. So in the material platform, if somebody is kind to one person, he may not have same kindness to another person. But here Prabhupada says, Lord can be equally kind to his innumerable devotees all over the creation. So that is the spiritual platform. So lastly, I just want to make one more point, that when a devotee experiences this love of the Supreme Lord, how the devotee, we can see that how he exhibits that love in relation to other people. We can take this example of Narada Muni. If you see that whenever the Lord appears in different Manu, he actually shows compassion to different devotees. He has loving reciprocation with the different devotees. Like when in the first canto, and you see the example of Narada Muni, Prabhupada says the Narada Muni story is the story of rags to riches. How from the son, being a son of a maid servant, he became the transcendental spaceman. But then we also see another point when Narada Muni was narrating his story. So Narada Muni tells that how spaceman, then I started wandering throughout the planet Earth, and then he says that how I went in the middle of the forest, and then I started meditating upon the Supreme Lord. So at that time the Supreme Lord appeared in front of me. So then, as soon as the Supreme Lord appeared, all my senses were enlivened. It was described that how Narada Muni was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. So then immediately Lord Vishnu, the form of the Supreme Lord disappeared from Narada Muni. So then Narada Muni again starts meditating, because he wanted to see that form again. But then he could not see that form again, but he simply heard a voice that in this, Lord spoke, in this lifetime you will not be able to see me again, because you are not mature in your practice of devotional service. So there Prabhupada says that the defect in Narada Muni was, Narada Muni had the contamination of the mode of goodness. That Narada Muni was attached to performing devotional service in the forest. So that is why Lord said, you have to purify even that contamination of mode of goodness. So in this lifetime, you will not be able to see again. So we can see, Narada Muni, of course, Narada Muni's story is a story of rags to riches. But we can also see that, like, as practicing sadhakas, like, we are conditioned by different modes. So because of condition of different modes, like, somebody is comfortable in practicing devotionalities in a particular situation. Say in a farm, or somebody is he may want to perform devotional service in a city. But the fact is, the underlying principle is all of us are conditioned by different modes. So Narada Muni, because like he had the contamination of mode of goodness, Lord said, so you have to purify even that contamination of mode of goodness. So then, but we see the same Narada Muni, when he preaches to the Prachetas in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he speaks in one particular verse, which tells the transformation which Narada Muni had actually achieved. He says to the Prachetas, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushto yena kenava sarvendriyo pashantyacha tushyatyashu janardanaha. So Narada Muni says that the best way to please the Supreme Lord, tushyat ashu janardana, or he says the quickest way to please the Supreme Lord is dayaya sarva bhuteshu. To give compassion, to show compassion to the other living entities. But then he says, but what is the qualification for that? How can a person really show compassion? And at present, like, even by preaching Krishna consciousness, it's not because we feel compassion, because it is our nature to speak. At least, I'm not talking about others, at least for myself. But Narada Muni is saying, the real qualification for showing compassion is santushto yena kenava. He says that the qualification is, one has to be satisfied in any circumstance. Or in other ways, one has to be satisfied within. So when a person is satisfied within, then he can show real compassion for others. And one can achieve that particular platform when his senses are completely controlled. Sarvendriyo upashantyacha. And how can that be possible? When one's mind is completely focused on Krishna. So we see that because Narada Muni experienced that dealing of the Supreme Lord, that Supreme Lord said that, because you are not mature in your practice of devotional service, you will not be able to see me again. So Narada Muni understood that mode of contamination, mode of goodness. So when he became even more perfect, that when he became completely, and when he came to the platform of pure devotional service, he said his realization is the quickest way to perform devotional service is to show compassion for the living entities. So I'll stop here. I'm extremely sorry that if I spoken authoritative tone, or I did not intend to do it. Srimad Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.